the guys who offered Steve Jobs Nancy Pelosi's liver. Ken and Joe, the Mac Texans.
Greetings and welcome to the Mac Texan Podcast number 36 from the Geek Ranch in beautiful downtown Mont Belvieu, Texas. I'm Joe Kelly.
Hey, and I'm Ken Mitchell.
Welcome back, my friend. Long time.
Long time.
Man, you know, it's going to be nice when we don't have to work for a living, right? And we can do fun stuff like this all the time.
I don't know. If I'm 98 and I'm trying to walk up these stairs and get up here and do it.
Well, we will have to move it down into the main office. The only reason I don't have it down there now is because it's right next to our bedroom. And, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm up real early. Sometimes I'm up real late. And my wife is like the lightest sleeper. She can hear a feather hit the floor at 30 paces, you know. So anyway, that's why I got the bedroom confiscated up here. And
well, I just want you to know I appreciate you not putting it.
Yeah.
I think you were an upstanding guy for doing that.
Yeah, but I built the house with an office in it, you know, and I don't get to use it, although it's a lot bigger and a lot nicer. Anyway, all right, well, let's enough of that. Topics for today. We're going to talk about a little news, but again, we're going to try to shape this podcast to be more of an informational how-to session than getting Apple news. But day before yesterday was Apple's earnings call, and they crushed it again. I mean, golly. I mean, can these guys find any more ways to make any more freaking money?
I'm going to tell you something. Are they incredible or what? They got great products. They got a great attitude about how they do things. Aftermarket. What go up $50-something.
Yeah, it opened
in like an hour or something.
It opened up the next morning $57 higher. It wound up settling down at around closing around $50 higher for the day. But thank God. I was wondering how I was going to tell my wife how I just dropped all that money on Apple stock. Of course, she can't fuss at me too much. I've ridden it up from $120-something. So, anywho.
Well, I have to tell everyone, I don't have Apple stock. I owned it when it was $12, and I sold it when it was $13. So, I'm an idiot.
Oh.
So, take whatever I say with a grain of salt.
Hey, you know, I always tout my successes and underplay my failures.
Right.
So we're not talking about any failures here. But
well, in that same vein, but talking about that revenue, you know, really, this is the first time that it kind of reflects Tim Cook more. I mean, there's a lot of jobs. You know, Tim Cook is really coming into his own, and I'm impressed.
Yeah, it's all of the fears that arose when Jobs left, number one, and then died, number two, I think have been pretty much swept under the rug at this point. I mean, you can rest at ease that the Apple ship is in quite good hands with Mr. Cook, as evidenced, you know, hey, since he took over early part of last year, it's just been one record quarter after another, after another, after another. And, you know, you can attribute that to who you want, but
it's Tim Cook.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's absolutely been the guy in charge. So, I mean, $39.2 billion in revenue. They netted $11.6 billion in profit. That comes to a nice $12.30 per share earning. And, you know, I was feeling really good about getting that little $2.68 divvy. But not when they're making $12.30 a share. Well, I guess any divvy's better than no divvy. But I read something very interesting this morning in that the iPhone alone makes more money than all of Exxon, the world's largest corporation. Now, that's measured by measured by assets. Exxon is still the world's largest publicly traded company, I guess, and that would make them the largest company, period. But in terms of profits, just one segment of Apple's business, the iPhone, makes more money than all of Exxon. So, worldwide. So, ride that train, man. I'm all over it. The profit increase was 94% over last year's fiscal second quarter. The iPhone 35 million units. How about that? All that disappointment about the iPhone 4S, huh?
Really? And it's just a cool phone. I know I'm a big fanboy, and I always say it's great and all that kind of, but I do like it. I mean, I'm not taking away anything from Samsung or anything from Google phones. They have got a lot going on. I'm an Apple guy. It all fits real. It's real natural for me, and I like it. So, speaking of that, before I'm going to break in here real quick.
Okay.
I saw a cool article the other day, and it was about John Cusack. I bet it's still on the internet, in Yahoo News or something. He was talking about, this was when iTunes was first starting.
You're talking about actor John Cusack?
That's exactly who I'm talking about. He met with Steve Jobs, and Jobs wanted him to do commercials for them.
All right.
And Jobs laid out to him how iTunes was going to work, told him all about how they were going to have a thing like the iPhone and the iPad, laid the whole thing out. And Cusack didn't do it because he didn't want to do commercials. He didn't invest in the company. He didn't do anything.
Well,
can you imagine?
You
of course, that's hindsight, you know.
Sure.
meeting with a visionary like that's pretty incredible.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I mean, it didn't do Jason Long or Hodgman's career any damage to do Apple commercials, did it?
No.
Anyway, back to numbers. 12 million iPads in the second quarter. And what's astonishing about that is 2/3 of that were still iPad 2s. I mean,
absolutely.
So I don't think we're going to see the full impact of the latest rev of the iPad until the third quarter.
That's because you hadn't seen the replacements. I think there's a lot of people that didn't replace.
There's
a lot of people that still have their iPad 1s and stuff like that. When the iPad 4 comes along, whatever they call that, you're going to see big time.
Well, you know, I'm one of those. I still got an iPad 1. I'm gonna get this new one. I mean, I was at the Apple store the other day, and I had a genius appointment for my daughter's, her little 13-inch MacBook Pro. Hardware problems with it. I mean, if there's a way to brutalize a laptop, my 13-year-old daughter can do it. I mean, it's had soda water spilt in it. It's been dropped. It's beat up. The poor guy, when I took it to the Genius Bar, the guy he looked at it and I said, "It's not mine, it's my daughter's." I was not going to claim this thing. But anyway, I had an occasion to be at the Apple store. You know me, I don't shop, but I had to be there for the Genius appointment. And while he had the laptop in the back, which it was successfully fixed, by the way, like it always seems to when I go to the Genius Bar, I had an opportunity for the first time to spend about 20 minutes with the new iPad. And it sold me. I mean, I knew the iPad 2 was not going to be something that I felt I needed to upgrade to. Mm-hmm. The camera on an iPad just doesn't interest me that much, and that's really all I saw that the iPad 2 brought to the party were the cameras.
Right, and it's not a very good camera. I mean, it's all right for what it does at that, but if you're going to take a picture, it's not a good camera.
So anyway, I saw the new one though, and the screen resolution is astounding. I mean,
I haven't seen one yet.
It's just absolutely breathtaking. I mean, I'm looking at this. What I thought was the best display I'd ever seen, this 27-inch iMac, but the iPad display makes this thing look grainy. And anyway, so I'm going to get one. Oh, and I got a new method, man. I've got, I'm like 6,000 points away from my American Express rewards of getting a 32-gig AT&T iPad third generation. So I got to find something to spend $6,000 on real quick. So
there you go.
So I can get enough points to get me a free iPad.
I believe it'd be cheaper just to go buy the iPad.
Yeah, it probably would. But hey, it's my business account, so I'm bound to spend it real soon. anyway, back to the numbers. Here's one that surprised me that they reported on in the earnings call, and that is there are 125 million iCloud users. Now, you know, they talk about North Carolina data center, and everybody is up in arms about not knowing exactly what Apple's doing with all that. But looks to me like, hey, they're servicing 125 25 million iCloud users.
Well, now, aren't they building a second one of those?
I heard rumors about that, and then I heard they were going to build a power generation plant to do some green energy thing for the first one. So I don't know, and Apple's not saying, right? They never tell you anything, no. But long and short of it, I was, of course, iCloud comes with every iOS device, right?
Correct.
So you get it whether you want it or not.
That's exactly right. You get 5 gigs, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And, hey, I mean, that's on par with what everybody else gives you for nothing.
Right.
You know, to me, the real value added, proposition for iCloud is just like Mobile Me. It's two things. Number one, it's Find My iPhone, which lets me keep track of all my gadgets.
Absolutely.
I mean, Max.
And your kid.
Yeah, and my kid. Yeah, that's, right. You know, phone schmoan, you know. I mean, I know where my kid is.
That's right.
But number two, it's syncing bookmarks and contacts and all that stuff and calendars across everything.
Absolutely.
And how you... You know, you can try to do this with Google Docs, but it's clunky. You can try to do it with Windows Live, but it's clunky.
Right.
Everybody's got a bits and pieces kind of solution.
Right.
But, you know, and personally, I don't think iCloud's as good as Mobile Me, but it's new. Okay. They got a while to catch up. But anyway, there's 125 million of us out there using iCloud. And, you know, Apple may not be the first, just with the most is sometimes. And it's been their track record with online services. That's certainly been the case. But hey, with $110.2 billion in the bank, I think they have the resources to fix it if they want to. So.
Well, and as far as I'm concerned, it works pretty darn good. I mean,
yeah.
There are some little things, I guess, I don't know. I don't know that I would really change anything. It all works. It's seamless. It follows the same philosophy they've always had. It's very consumer-friendly. It's very user-friendly. It works just like their computers do. I always like to be around somebody that's never used a Mac, and they get a Mac.
Oh, yeah.
And they can't hardly operate the thing because it's too darn easy. And
yeah.
That's the way this stuff is. You hook it all up, and it works. We just got finished talking about extending networks and that kind of stuff, and both of us are real big on using Airport Express. You hook that up, it all works. I mean,
yeah.
Just plug it up, baby, it's done.
I mean, there's a little wizard that comes with the airport utility when it detects a new one, and you answer a couple of easy questions, and boom, you never have to mess with it again, ever.
I do wish that Apple would come out with more networking gear.
Yeah.
I really do wish that, but hey, you are doing good jobs for them.
So anyway, yeah, that was the last thing I wanted to mention about the earnings call was, with all the talk of dividends and other things, sure enough, they've still got $110 billion in the bank, and with all their plans, if they enact it the way that they said they were when they announced that there was going to be a dividend and a stock buyback and this, that, and the other, that they're still going to wind up with over $100 billion in cash even after doing all this stuff. So long and short of it, Apple is proving that they are the best business on the planet. Bar none.
And
period.
I'm real happy for Tim Cook.
Yeah, me too.
I'm a Tim Cook fan. I have to tell you, the guy is, he had big shoes to fill. Not just being a good CEO. I mean, you know, he just had a big position to fill.
Oh.
And he's done it by putting his own self in there, and he recognizes Steve Jobs, and he's nothing but in awe of Steve Jobs. I'm a big fan of
you his. Cannot ask for a more difficult act to follow than Steve Jobs.
That's exactly
period.
Right.
I mean, you know, he took from 1997 until last year, he turned Apple from on the verge of folding to the world's most valuable corporation. And, you know, how do you follow that?
I don't know. And let me tell you something else. He's got one other problem, or he could have had a potential problem, and that was Johnny Ive. I mean, because he's another, you know, like stellar person in his own right. And that could have, you know, for anybody else, that could have really been a problem because people identify with him as much as they do Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
His design and all that.
I think you're right. And to manage those
well, he's
different
a partnership with him now. I mean, they
yeah.
just work perfect. And I'm really pleased for Tim Cook. Of course, I think Tim Cook in the background, everything I've read, he was a guy we didn't know much about, or we did know some about him. But, I mean, he was a powerhouse, you know, and Jobs would send him out.
Yeah.
And he's the guy that made the deal. So,
Well, I mean, and it, you're right. It could have become a real personality issue with all the big egos and everything else. And fortunately, I remember a quote by Guy Kawasaki back, I believe it was in the, there was a feature film made called Welcome to Macintosh, and they interviewed Guy Kawasaki in depth, and he said, look, sales fixes everything. When sales are good, everybody's happy. Nobody's mad at anybody. You know, when sales suck, then everything sucks. And obviously, sales are not a problem with Apple right
That's
now.
Right. So, that's right.
So anyway, okay, moving on. The next thing we want to talk about, and this is going to lead into our how-to section, is flashback. I don't know about you, Ken, but, you know, I have turned a lot of people on to Macs and in the last few years, and I have been a real mouthpiece for the platform and have converted, quite honestly, I can look right down my street and pick out three people on my street that I have gotten off the PC platform and on the Macs.
Yeah, but it's not an easy thing to do, because I remember for years I used to tell you,
I
want to try Mac.
I know. I know.
Let's don't go into that.
Let's don't go back to how what an idiot I was. But
no.
But you know, once I made the jump, it was easy to see. Yeah, now, absolutely. But anyway, I've converted a lot of folks, and to a fault. When this flashback thing hit the mainstream media, where, you know, you and I, we watch podcasts and we listen to and we read technical stuff in the New York Times and all of that. But, you know, like my neighbor, the average person, it's got to hit NBC Nightly News or something before they hear about it. And flashback got to a point where, and I think, yeah. Me being the conspiracy theorist that I am, I think it's probably a story that was planted by Microsoft somewhere that, oh, the Macs are getting trashed with infections and blah, blah, blah. Well, anyway, flashback was a legitimate Trojan. And all of these folks that I have turned onto a Mac have been questioning me to double check and, you know, see if they're okay. Well, and I happily oblige, because number one, it's so easy. Go to MacTexan.com on the front page. The top story right now, I put it up a couple of days ago, was how to ward off flashback and all of its cousins. And actually, I was going to do this as a public service, but I ran across a guy named Corey Bohan in MacLife wrote what I consider to be the definitive article on dealing with flashback and other Java-based problems on a Mac. So I just referenced his article. But he's got a great how-to, and that's what I follow when I go talk to folks on how to check if you got it and, you know, get rid of it and apply the patches. But you know here's the thing, and we talked about this briefly earlier. Apple's already fixed this, okay? But these folks that I've talked to, and this is two of the three neighbors that I have down the street here that have bought Macs, and when I go look at their machines, they hadn't run their software updates, even though I had instructed them to. But these Windows people are so gun shy of installing anything. Even when Apple's own software update pops up on the screen and says, look, we're going to upgrade you from Lion 10.7.2 to 10.7.3. And they're shaking their tracks. They're scared to push install, because coming from the Windows side, you never knew if that message was real or not, you know? So anyway, that's the experience that I've had with these folks, is that, you know, if they did have, none of them had a problem. Number one, there were 600,000 Macs that got infected. I don't know what that is in terms of percentage, but when you consider
it's that, stinky.
Yeah, this last quarter alone, Apple sold almost 5 million Macintoshes, that 600,000 Macs infected worldwide is a tiny, tiny fraction of a percentage of folks that got infected.
Right.
And so, number one, I knew going in the chances are real slim of them being infected. Number two, it takes just a second to check and see if they're infected. But number three, come on, folks, run your damned updates. I mean, how hard is that? Mm-hmm. I mean, if it comes from Apple, I all three of these folks I had set up with everything you can do from an automated standpoint,
right,
which is, you know, check daily, download it automatically,
right?
And all they have to do is answer the pop-up.
Right.
So I had to go back and retrain all these folks. When you see this little globe with arrows circumnavigating the globe right there in the end down in their dock, that means that's an Apple software update. And that one is just fine. When it asks you to do something, don't think twice. Just do it.
There you go.
So, and that's something I could get other folks to used to. I would always have reservations about recommending, just blindly putting an update on. But the cost benefit now, when there are Trojans out there, Mr. Cook is going to take care of us as long as we do what he says. So be a good little sheeple and run your updates like you should. There are always problems anytime you run updates. I'm not going to say always, but there's always a chance that something could break, that some software is going to be incompatible or what have you. But when you weigh the risk versus reward, it's always a good idea to run your updates. So that's all I'm going to say about that. That's what I'm noticing from people that are scared about getting bugs is right. These Windows guys, they're so gun shy. They won't, click here for $1 million. Right. I ain't touching it. So anyway, and that leads on. Let's go ahead and move into the how-to section. That leads into what we're going to talk about today in terms of how to, and that's protecting your Mac. You know, I am still not one of those that'll jump on board and say it's time for installing an antivirus on your Mac. What do you think, Ken? I mean, I don't run it on any of mine.
I don't run it on mine either. But, you know, there will be a day. Well, it may not be. It'll probably be the phones. It'll be the problem. But there will be a day, maybe, that we have it. But, you know, the Windows world, they've got the enterprise system, and it is Windows. And it is that type of a platform that's not Mac that they have to safeguard, and that's right. Who they normally go after. So that does give us some protection. And so with that in mind and the things that they are, I'm exactly like you. I don't run that that safeguard. I do have some, and I do run it once a year or something, and I never have anything on it. So
right.
I didn't have it. I ran the thing for the flashback and didn't have it. So,
well, you know, here's my philosophy on it is that the Mac technical community is very good, and it's not like the Windows technical community. With Windows, I mean, you literally see, I mean, there may be 12 new variants of a bug per day.
Correct.
I mean, if you were to try to keep up with it from that standpoint, it would be, I mean, you would be completely overwhelmed. That's all you would ever do with a Windows computer is chase bugs.
Right.
However, I've owned Macs now since 2006. This is only the second time that I can recall that there was a legitimate booger bear out there in the wild to worry about.
Right.
I mean, we had that one that was like a year and a half ago. I can't remember the name of it now. That was taking advantage of a security hole in QuickTime, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was trying to get you to modify QuickTime with some flash add-on plug-in, something another. And then this one, and that's all. So as far as a Windows guy goes, you got to have protection. I mean, no one can be well informed enough. I mean, I guess unless you work for Symantec or somebody,
right,
and running their antivirus division. I mean, no one's going to be well informed enough to keep track of all that. However, on the Mac side, if you stay current with just reading our Macworld, for instance, or visiting a website every week or so, you're going to get clued in anytime there's a major bug for the Mac. So
right.
I think fending those guys off on OS X is infinitely more simple than doing it on the Windows side. So I still have not installed any antivirus software. I'm like you. I downloaded one just to try it, but I tried it and I ran it for a couple of weeks and nothing. Okay, I don't need this overhead.
Yeah.
Let's turn it off.
Hey, I got tired of messing with it, to be honest with you. But I turn it on every once in a while, and it's a good company. But, you know, they're not a major thing because nobody uses their software for that. I mean, it's okay.
Well, the one I used was Nod 32, which is I've always been real impressed with them on the Windows side. Mm-hmm. Although You know, they charge money for their product, and I've gotten so chintzy on Windows that I use the Microsoft Security Essentials now, and it works fine. The thing with anything, folks, is for the vast majority of cases, if you don't do something stupid, then you won't be infected. Now, these virus, I'm not going to say that's 100% of the time. There are variants of these guys that that can really fool even the seasoned veteran. But stay off the porn sites trying to get you installed a new video player. Don't click on links in email from people you have no idea who it is.
Absolutely.
You know, just don't do that dumb stuff.
That's exactly right. Don't go to a fair or something and get a thumb drive and stick that in your computer.
Right, right.
Yeah, and
if you find a thumb drive on the ground, step
run
on
over it with a car.
Step on it. Crush it. I mean, you don't need it. They're cheap.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So, but flashback, basically, it started off as an infection that was disguising itself as a flash update. Okay. I can see how that could fool people.
Hence flashback.
Yeah. You know, they did it right. They were using the Adobe logo and everything on the little pop-ups that came up there. But it has morphed, just like all these bugs do. And now, if you had to have three things, and we're going to show you how to turn them off. If you had automatic execution in Safari, and if you had Java installed, and if you had Java enabled in Safari, then they could do a drive-by on you. I mean, which means if all you had to do was visit an infected site, if all these conditions were met.
Right.
And, well, and a fourth condition, if now your system was not up to date. Right now, if your system is up to date with the latest releases from Apple, OS 10.7.3, and their latest Java update, you cannot be infected by any known variant of flashback. So let's just get that out there. While I've got this on screen, let's go ahead and I'll show you how we want to set up Safari to avoid the problem of getting this bug.
While you're saying that for a minute, now browser selection is an individual choice, and there's a lot of people that really like Google Chrome. You're one of those guys that always like Google Chrome. I'm a Safari guy.
Well, I use Safari like 99 times out of 100 for everything, except when it won't work on a specific website. And there's a couple of those.
That's exactly right. I used to be a Firefox guy. I like Mozilla quite a bit, but I'm a Safari guy.
Okay. When you hit Safari Preferences or Command Comma, when you've got Safari in focus, I set mine purposely to the bad settings so I could show you how to turn them off. Before the show, in the general tab under Safari Preferences, the very last item on that screen, none of it makes any difference anywhere else except that last checkbox on the screen where it says open safe files after downloading. Pictures, sounds, movies, that little movie thing there, that's the one that's getting people.
Yep.
If you download an infected movie that's in a FLV format or whatever, it's a malformed flash file that was infecting Macs. So if you take this little guy right there and uncheck him, that's your first safeguard.
There it is.
Okay. Now, next, we're going to go to System Preferences, and let me see if I can get it up here without showing the world all of my passwords and everything. Okay. Let me go, first off, let's go to the Java settings. And this is in Applications Utilities, and there's a little applet that comes on every Mac called Java Preferences. Let me open that up, get that on the screen. Okay, there's Java Preferences. Right at the top on the general, when you double click on Java Preferences and launch the applet, it'll show you what versions of Java you have installed. And it's showing here I've got the Java Runtime 6 in both 64 and 32-bit versions, and it shows you the version numbers, blah, blah, blah. Well, right here on the top, you want to make sure that puppy is turned off where it says Enable Applet Plugin and Web Start Applications. That means don't run applications from the web. And if you got this guy unchecked, then
you got 90% of the battle.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Now, under security, this is where you put in exceptions. Like here, I need Java. I need it for Charles Schwab because they've got their Street Smart app that runs in Safari that I really kind of like to use. And it uses Java to generate charts and get real-time quotes and all that stuff where you need more than HTML. You got to have some executables in there. But anyway, in the security tab, that'll show you everything that's allowing Java to run. And the other just shows you just some network settings and stuff like that. And in the advanced setting, the one that I wanted to show you here was under the shortcut creation, just always, always have a prompt set up where it won't do anything behind your back. That's the main thing there. There's a lot of pieces there. Down at the very bottom, verify mixed security code, that sandbox versus trusted. And you always want that enabled and show warning. So it'll always raise a flag when something's trying to do some Java work on your machine. It'll never do it in the background without at least telling you about it. So also, now, if you don't have Java installed, when you start up this, now this Java preferences app is going to be on your machine, one or the other. If you don't have it installed, when you fire it up, it'll say, hey, you don't have Java installed. Do you want to install it? Well, if you don't have it installed, you obviously don't need it. So don't install it.
That's exactly right.
You know?
Don't put it in there if you don't need it.
Exactly.
That's it. Don't mess with it.
I mean, why have it? You've been surfing the web, doing your thing, looking at all your, you're going to Flickr, you're going to Facebook, blah, 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 blah. If you have had no occasion to use Java, then you don't need it. So it's baggage at that point.
You know, in one of our previous shows, and I forgot which one it was, we reviewed a little program called Little Snitch. And and if you want to go, now if you're a new Mac user, don't get it because it'll mess you up. It'll be paranoid all the time. But Little Snitch, if you're that concerned about it, get Little Snitch. It comes on and it will tell you everything that's going on with your Mac.
Yes, sir.
And who's trying to pop in and take a look.
Right.
So I think we pretty much got it, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's pretty much it at the how-to. The thing I wanted to stress was always turn the most important one. And let me get back to Safari preferences. The most important one is under the general tab in Safari preferences where it says open quote unquote safe files after downloading. There is no reason on earth to have that checked. I mean, I don't even know why Apple puts it on there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and thankfully, the default behavior is
it'll tell you, do you want to open something
right.
that's come from the internet?
And this will be unchecked. But I don't even know why they shouldn't even give you the option. Look, they've already redone the downloads window in Safari. So, I mean, if you're downloading something, it'll tell you. It'll tell you when it finishes download, and then it'll give you the choice. You can double click on it in the list and run it, open it. You can show it in Finder. You can delete it, whatever. But, I mean, if you're downloading something, I guess my point is turn this automatic stuff off. I mean, you don't need it. Do things intentionally. Don't let the computer run you. You run your computer. So, but that's the main one. There is never open save files. Oh, and there was one more thing. Under the security tab, again, we're in Safari preferences. Under the security tab, it looks like a little padlock there with yellow and black stripes on the bottom. You want the enable Java turned off, unchecked. So just turn Java off. Like when I visit my Schwab site, when you turn Java off, when I visit the Schwab site, it'll say, and this is someplace legitimately that I want to go, and I know they use Java, it'll say, Java is currently disabled. Would you like to enable it temporarily? And that's a very good method of constructing a website.
That's excellent method.
Yeah. And I say yes, and then they turn it on. And then when you leave that website and you're finished with it, it turns it back off. But it prompts the user to turn Java on. But this is also, I almost forgot this one. This is a real important one. It's under web content on the security tab of Safari preferences, where it says enable Java, uncheck that puppy. Now, there are those that argue that you should also disable JavaScript. Well, I don't know. There's a couple of ways I've worked with that, and I'm going to be real honest with you folks. The web runs on JavaScript now. I mean, and you can experiment with this yourself, and it depends on the user. But if you visit Facebook and or Zynga, good grief with that, you know, if you visit Yahoo or Flickr or YouTube, when you turn off JavaScript, nothing's going to work. I mean, stuff stops. I mean, you're going to get little blanks and question marks all over the screen. There is an add-in for Safari called NoScript, and it's a Safari extension. This is kind of the way I handle it. I enable JavaScript in the security preferences, and I turn on NoScript, which allows me to whitelist websites where I say, yep, it's okay to run JavaScript on Facebook, okay? It's okay to run JavaScript on Flickr. But if I go to BillyBob'sNetworkSecurity.net, then I'm not going to let his JavaScript run rampant on my machine. So I always keep the enable JavaScript checked, and I whitelist the site specifically using a Safari extension, and it turns it all off except the ones that I allow. And it's like any of these go/no-go type of extensions. It's going to bug you a little bit at first. Places you normally go. I mean, the easiest thing to do is just turn everything on. So you're always
better running that security software.
Yeah.
I mean, that stuff, you put it on. Now, I'm not taking away from them. Like them all. They're all great. But, I mean, you got to put up with all that stuff that they do. This is an easy solution.
Right.
Easy. Nothing solution.
Yep. And like I said, for a week or so, you're going to be getting messages, you know, do you want to allow this JavaScript to run at www.frankenstein.com? And, you know, then you make a decision, yes or no. But once you make that decision that yes, you want to allow it, then when the next time you visit that site, it won't ask you again. So that's it, man. You know, I thought there'd be more to talk about here, but Flashback is sort of a paper tiger. And it really wasn't doing anything that we could tell in terms of it wasn't stealing passwords. It was mainly just a way for people to gain remote access to Macs and botnet the thing. So it was piggybacking on your Mac and allowing people to get in and send spam or distributed denial of service attacks on other people. So I haven't heard of any Macs that were, you know, suffering from data loss because of the Flashback Trojan. So anyway, that's it. Flashback in a nutshell. The main thing is run your updates. If you don't need it, don't install it. If you don't use it, turn it off.
There you go.
Pretty much rules to live by there. So
that's exactly right.
All right. Next, we are going to talk about, I got a couple of software picks. One that I found that I just fell in love with. I mean, absolutely fell in love with. I've always had a problem. I mean, I run a business with my Macs, okay? And I've got storage solutions here and there. Keeping things organized has always been an issue for me. I'll say, man, I know I wrote a quote for that guy for this service or whatever. Where did I put it? Well, then I'll search for the company name and I'll look and I'll have three or four folders with that company name on it. And sure enough, if I dig around, find it two or three times, going through two or three different folders, then I'll eventually come to the document. Yes, I did create that. No, I wasn't smoking crack. Yeah, I remember what I did. All right. I mean, you know, I just misplaced it. In the world where the standard hard drive on a Mac is, you know, 500 gigs plus, and documents folders can be, you know, literally hundreds of gigs of stuff. I mean, it's easy to lose a single particular document if you don't have things organized. Well, I found, and I found this at a place, and it's a website that I would recommend to everyone, called Mac App Storm. Let me see what their URL is. I can't remember that. I use them all the time, and I've got it bookmarked. Let's see. Yeah, it's Mac.appstorm. Storm, APPSTORM, .net. All these guys do is test and review apps, and they do it for Mac. They have a Mac section and an iOS section, which deals with iPhones and iPads. But anyway, that's how I found this app called Hazel. It's from a company called Noodlesoft, and it is a way to help you automate the task of organizing your documents. Now, it does require a couple of things on your part. Hazel runs in the background. It'll put up a little menu bar thing, and let me go to noodlesoft.com. And when you drop a file into this folder, depending on either how you've got it named or what the file's contents are, what type of file it is, then it will sort that file and place it in a folder based on rules that you set. For instance, I have a folder in my documents folder called Kelly Data Incorporated. Well, I think I just call it Kelly Data. Yeah. And there's a subfolder under that called Customers. And then in that folder, I have a separate folder for each of the customers that I do business with. And I, like I said, I was completely horrible about, I would create an invoice for someone or a quote or what have you, about or a proposal or whatever. And, you know, I look and I would have one in the documents folder with that customer name, a folder that for that. And I'd have another folder that had all my quotes in. One day I decided I was going to keep all the quotes in the same place. The next day I decided I was going to sort by customer. Well, what Hazel does is let me go to my Kelly Data folder and say, anytime I copy something into there, depending on the name of the file and what type it is, then go do something specific with it. And you set those rules. So now I know that if I create a quote or an invoice or whatever, if I have that customer's name in the document, then when I drop, because Hazel is running and I've told it that Kelly Data is one of my target folders, now when I drop a quote that has Bob's Plumbing in it, and I drop it into Kelly Data, then Hazel is going to take that thing and pick it up and move it and put it where it's supposed to, in this case, in Bob's Plumbing folder. Okay? The same. And so I don't have to worry about it anymore. You know, once you set the rules, then Hazel does it automatically every time. And it takes maybe, once you think about what you're doing, it takes, you know, of course, depending on how big your business is or how you want to do things, it organizes things for you automatically where everything's in its place and you go back and find it easily. Because if you forget where you put something, you can always go back and look at Hazel's rule. Okay. So let me get to Noodlesoft real quick.
You know, I guess a bad analogy for this is if you were using Outlook, these new Mac users that using Outlook and whatnot, we have rules in it. Same kind of deal. You set them up wherever. Of course, it's an email and whatnot.
Yeah, it's just like mail rules.
Sure it is.
I mean, it's the exact same thing with the exception of it's for dealing with files. And this has always been a problem. Let's see. Okay, first off, you can download it for free. It gives you a 14-day trial. That's what I did. And it forced me to go say, okay, Joe, how do you want to do this? Do you want to file everything by quote? Do you want to, do you want all the documents of this type in one place? Or do you want sort it by business? Do you want spreadsheets over here? Now, it comes default with a set of rules for your download folder. And that gives you a good example of how to use it. And I'll show you kind of how the rules work. But that's an application right off the bat. You know, Safari, out of the box, what it does is when you download a file, be it a picture or a movie, an audio file, music, whatever, it just throws everything into the downloads folder. So Hazel has given you a default set of rules. Now, they're all turned off by default for your downloads folder. And it'll show you how to use Hazel. I mean, this isn't rocket science, folks. This is just saying when Hazel is running and you set up a folder in Hazel and apply some rules to it, whenever you put anything in that folder, then Hazel is going to pick it up and do what you told it to do. So anyway, I found it to be extremely valuable. The thing's only $25. I'll guarantee I've been using this for maybe 2 months now, and it has saved me hours of searching. I never search for anything anymore because I know everything is organized. Now, having said all that, it's also my Kelly data folder just happens to be in Dropbox. And so I know that if I drop a folder, a file, or a folder full of files into the Kelly data folder, then it's all going to get distributed. It can be a bunch of mixed up mash of different customers and quotes and invoices and proposals and memos and what have you. Hazel's going to sort through everything you drop in there and distribute it out the way you told it to, and it's going to do it every time. So it saved me $25 the first week, and I hadn't even paid for the thing yet. It's at noodlesoft.com. I highly recommend it if you deal with lots of files. And if you download lots of stuff, I mean, you don't even have to create the rules there. And the rules, let's just look at a rule right here. Let's edit, go to the downloads folder, and I'll click edit. If you've ever made a rule in Apple Mail, you will know how to use this. I mean, it works exactly the same. Like if you create a rule that when I get a mail from this person, then put it in this folder. Well, it's exactly the way Hazel works. A nice add-on to OS 10. I got a feeling that Apple's going to buy these guys. I mean, it just works so well, and it's so seamless. And in the age of, like I said, in the age of hundreds of gigs of storage on even the cheapest machines, losing track of files is a problem, and Hazel cures it. So
it's a good one.
Yep. Yeah. Anyway, and I snuck another one in. I don't normally do that, but what the hell? It's my show. I do what I want.
There you go.
But I thought people might want to know about this. Microsoft just began, and Google just started it with their G Drive. Dropbox has been doing. I think this is all a result of Dropbox's success.
And if you're a Mac Texan, you love Dropbox. We like Dropbox as much as we like Apple, don't we?
Oh, man.
We are Dropbox fans.
Oh, gosh. However, here's the one drawback with Dropbox. They give you a couple of gigs for free. If you're real nice to them, like I've been over the years, I've got 7 gigs, and they just keep giving me space. I don't know why. I think it's just a competitive thing with them, but I'll get an email notice, say, hey, man, we just gave you 2 more gigs. Hey, we just up you. I told the story about, you know, when I wrote them an email saying, how long have I been with you guys? You know, I had my standard 2 gigs, and they wrote me back and said, wow, you're customer number 4,000-something. You've been with us from the first month we went live. Here's 3 gigs.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway.
I purchase it.
Yeah. Well, and it's not a bad deal. Hey, Dropbox is ubiquitous. Dropbox is on every iOS device. There are so many apps that support Dropbox. You just go to Dropbox.com and look at the iOS apps that have used their API and support Dropbox storage. That's why it has become the ipso facto standard of online storage.
They are.
So, but there's another one. Now, Microsoft's trying to get in the game, and I'm not going to talk about G Drive because, I like Google and everything, but, I mean, Google has enough of my information. I don't need to give them anymore. And I've turned to really hating Google Docs of late, but that's a story for another day.
Right.
Google, let me tell you what, folks. If Google could write a user interface that wasn't a piece of crap, they would rule the earth.
Google's problem is they are so far out there. I mean, they've got their fingers in everything.
Absolutely.
And it's almost like they don't know what they want to be when they grow up, which is probably the right way to do it. You can't say too much. They're super mega, highly successful. You can't say anything bad about them.
But, I mean, it's, you know, they're just throwing everything against the wall and seeing what sticks. But anyway, Microsoft, in their defense, has, I think they've done this right. They've been with this live.windows or windows.live.com for a long time, where Windows doesn't come with a mail program. Windows doesn't come with a photo editor. Right. Windows doesn't come with a movie editor. But you go to Windows Live and you can get all that stuff for free. And they're competent products. I would say that the Windows Live stuff is comparable for Windows with what comes with a Mac, maybe for free, you know, with the iLife stuff. I mean, that's kind of where they are with that. But along that same vein, they just announced about 3 days ago, I think is when it happened, something called SkyDrive. And they're giving everybody on earth that wants to go sign up with a Hotmail account 7 gigs for nothing, absolutely nothing. And Right now, if you do it quick, I don't know how long they're going to keep doing this, they will automatically upgrade you to 25 gigs free of online storage. Now, why SkyDrive? Okay, number one, it's free storage. They don't have a lot of sophisticated tools. They don't do a lot of things Dropbox does. But what they do have a nice iOS and an Android app. They have a nice little app that runs on the Mac. And you can, you know, once it's in the cloud, you can get to it from anywhere. If for nothing else, it's just another place if you're completely anal retentive about backing up like I am. It's another place to store backup stuff, you know.
Right.
And 25 gigs, folks, is 25 gigs.
Right.
You know, when in the world of 2 and 3 terabyte hard drive setups on machines, it doesn't sound like a lot, but
it's offsite and it's a backup and
yeah,
it works.
And it's absolutely free. Now the cool part about it is once you sign up, and let me go to the live website. One thing that Microsoft has done properly that Google has not, and that is create an online document system. The web Word and web Excel, that is all built into the SkyDrive interface. So it immediately sets you up when you open a SkyDrive account. It sets you up, and I just got this one started, so I don't have a lot in it, but I've been playing around with it. Let me switch the screen. There you go. When you sign into SkyDrive, I mean, it's a Windows Live account. If you've already got one, you don't have to do anything but sign in and say, yes, I want this. But it pops up in your Windows Live menu at the top, and that's where Messenger and Hotmail and all that reside, and MSN. But at the top, it has the web apps for Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and OneNote. Okay. Sort of an Evernote competitor. And these apps work well. They are so much better than Google Docs. I mean, Excel is Excel. If you know how to use the desktop office, you will know how to use all of these apps. Microsoft has done an excellent job. You can share public folders. You can send links to your SkyDrive. It's a good way to transfer large documents if you don't have any other way to do it. Anyway, absolutely guaranteed 7 gigs for free. If you act quickly, they'll up that to 25 gigs. Hey, man, free is free. They're not ubiquitous like Dropbox, but they do. If you're a Google Docs user, I would urge you to look at SkyDrive because just for the apps alone are so much better than Google Docs. That Google spreadsheet is the biggest piece of crap I've ever seen in my life. That is garbage.
That's a whole other show.
I would be embarrassed for that to be what I use to represent my web apps with is Google spreadsheet. That is a piece of junk. But anyway.
Tell us how you feel.
Yeah. But hey, SkyDrive uses Excel. And it works great. And with that, Ken, man, I'm about talked out. Have I run my gums enough?
Hey, it's been good.
Well, the internet gods were good to us. Yep. We've been streaming the whole time.
Right.
And, you know, I know we say this every time. I have so much fun doing this.
And
we just don't do it enough.
We actually like doing this a lot, but we both have jobs. And that's the one that, you know, kind of gets in the way. And we'll probably be doing it from the nursing home one of these days. So, yeah.
Anyway, well, look, thanks for listening, folks. Visit us on Ustream. I would like to thank the sponsor, the only sponsor we have, which is Kelly Data Incorporated, and that's at www.kellydata.com. Visit us. If you're anywhere in the continental United States, hell, I'll go outside the country if the price is right.
General, if it's enough money, I'll come with him.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of going somewhere, I was so pissed off. I was wanting to go to WWDC this year. They opened up ticket sales and sold out in 2 hours. By the time I heard about it, it was sold out. And I hear they're canceling people's tickets that bought tickets. I went to WWDC for 3 years running. I missed it 1 year because of a conflict. And I wanted to go so bad this year.
Well, there was a big rumor running around that they were gonna announce the iPhone 5 at that time, but yeah, we pretty well that's not gonna happen. But.
Well, you know what pisses me off about it is WWDC by definition is the Worldwide Developers Conference.
Right.
I'd say half the people there are just a bunch of stooges that never written a line of code in their life. You know, and
yeah, but they got a big prize tag to get in. That runs about half of them off. So.
The thing is, I mean, it was $1,600 this year. I was ready to pay it, and because there's some things I really need, especially with Mountain Lion coming out, and I wanted to get a jump on that. I've got some things in the works, but anyway, it just pissed me off. It got sold out in 2 hours. Where you know it's like a damn eBay auction, and you have to stand there and click refresh until the tickets go on sale.
That's all right. Macworld's coming. Of course, yeah. It's iWorld now, and I still like going, and it's not what it used to be.
Well, you know, the thing is, this is the only time of year when you can sit down and see what Apple, the machinery inside of Apple, is doing from a software development standpoint.
Right.
It's the only opportunity, and I've always loved going, just not only from a curiosity standpoint, but every time I learn a lot while I'm there, and it just pissed me off that I didn't get a chance to buy a ticket. So, anyway.
It's their time.
That's it. All right, I've run my head enough. Thanks for Kelly Data. You guys drop us a line. I'm joe@mactexan.com.
I'm ken@mactexan.com. And I'm lonely in my little mailbox.
Yeah.
So come visit me.
Or drop us a line at questions@mactexan.com, and we would love for you guys to shape the show and send us questions. You know, now I'm doing it like I did today, just from experience with people that I've done work for. So anyway, that's it for me, man. I'm getting talked out. It's time for a smoke and go look at my maid bend over. So
this is a note to my wife. I'm not going to go look at his maid bend, and I don't smoke, so there you go. But it's pretty much up for me too.
I'm the bad guy. Vaya con Dios, amigo.
Hey, we'll see you next time.
All right.
Bye.